Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And welcome to the intro segment of the show. And I'm glad you're following me, even though we're no longer on YouTube. You can catch me on Rumble. You can catch me here. This is pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. Listen, we're growing. We're growing. And it's too late for censorship. It's really not working because people have a new level of awareness. I'd say 80% of the country right now has an idea things are terribly wrong. About half know things are really wrong. And about 10% are actually active. But that's going to grow as the situation worsens. We have a great show for you today. We're going to be talking about a two-part presentation on introduction of designer viruses designed to cripple the country in an election year. History repeats: white pneumonia and Ebola. And I got extensive data on Ebola. And it's frightening. I'm going to warn you, this is not for the faint of heart. Hey, we're brought to you by Noble Gold. The banks are in trouble. You know the banks are in trouble. We've covered that ad nauseum. And so here's what we need to know. Are you well off leaving your money in the bank? The answer is no. What about your retirement? Absolutely not. Get it out of the bank today. Noble Gold can help you. They'll put it under your control and back it with a precious metal, gold, that's held its value for 6,000 years. That way the banks can't touch it. And under the Dodd-Frank law, they can steal it from you. Yeah, that's unconstitutional, but it's legal in this system now. Also, too, they'll take your bank account, do something similar, and you just leave operating capital in there. Now, I have to give you a disclaimer very quickly. Federal government wants me to tell you that there's no guarantees, right? And every investment carries a risk. And past performance can't be confused with future expectation. We all know that, and we're happy to give that warning. All right, here's how you can get your information. DaveHodgesGold.com, DaveHodgesGold.com, or call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them Dave Hodges told you to call. Now, on to the show. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Good to be with you. Please share our work far and wide. And we have a really, really important message for you. And it involves survival. It involves the fact we're being attacked on multiple fronts. We're going to cover just one of those in this particular broadcast. But we're going to hit others, too. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I make a suggestion? Get your storable food and get it now. Okay, you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Go to preparewithdave.com. 2,000 calories. Tastes great. Last 25 years. Preparewithdave.com. Have you heard what's going on in China? The white flu, as they're calling it, infecting children. Highly lethal. And you see pictures of the Chinese health workers, and they're in hazmat suits times 10. I've never seen anything like it. It's crazy. Well, you know, where did COVID start? Mm-hmm. And they needed that because in 2019, a regime change was on the horizon for Xi Jinping. Their economy was failing. Their military was unhappy. Today, too, generals are gone. We don't know where they're at. And we know the defense secretary died under mysterious circumstances. They had to create something. Our economy is failing. People are upset. This is paralleling China. It really is. But we have our own event here. Let me just remind you of something. Event 201. Came about 6 months before COVID. Bill Gates, oh, we need to simulate an environmental viral outbreak. It's just terrible. It's horrible. So many people are going to die. And if you remember what happened in COVID, do you remember what happened? A guy gets in a motorcycle accident, dies of head trauma, but at the emergency room, they label him as a COVID death. Because they got paid $13,000 per diagnosis and $39,000 from the federal government for a confirmed, in quotes, death. Yeah, it was all to excite the emotions, make people fearful, make them wear masks,
make them get vaccines, make them get all these things that we know now are bad for you. And it was a beta test. It was a beta test for what's happening now. You're going, holy crap, Dave, what's happening now? I'm undecided if we should break this up into two parts, and we probably should. One has to do with white pneumonia. The other has to do with Ebola. And let's make this a two-part issue. White pneumonia. Bill Gates, 6 months ago, oh, the world's on the edge of another pandemic, and we all talked about it. What does he know that we don't? Or what's he causing to happen that we don't want to happen? And that's probably the better question. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in Warren County, Ohio, in the southwestern part of the state, there are 148 confirmed cases in this small county of children with white pneumonia. This morning, I read it was in Denmark, and they were freaking. Today, later in the day, it's in Ohio. Wonder if it's near East Palestine. Be fitting, wouldn't it? You may have noticed, too, that the Supreme Court is refusing to handle cases of forced compliance with vaccines. There were New Jersey nurses who got fired from their job because they took the initial two vaccine set, but they wouldn't take the boosters, so they got fired. Well, they brought a lawsuit, and they lost in the lower court. They won in the appellate court, and then they got overruled. And now the case went before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court says, yeah, we're not going to hear it. It's just like the abortion issue now that they regret taking on. The Hobbs case, they are not going to help you. I want to back away now and take a 30,000-foot view. What ended up happening in COVID was a travesty of science. I used to teach research methodology. I did this for a period of 4.5 years of my 14 years with this one university. And I taught research methods to graduate students working on their thesis. We used medical modeling. So I know a lot about it. And I know there are some social media sites out there, oh, you can only talk about this if you're an authority. Well, I'm an authority. I have the track record to prove it. And with the latest set of vaccines, they've done no human testing. They tested on 8 animals. They all died. And they came to market with it anyway. This is a fact. And this was forced upon people. The Supreme Court's giving no assistance. Congress has their finger on the chicken bleeper switch. They're not going to help either. And what we have is released pandemics that are going to sweep through the country. And I'm going to cover another one here next. But this is really, really serious. This pneumonia could prove to be the undoing of a lot of our children. And that's what these animals want. They want to reduce population. They want kids to be their property, if you know what I mean. And we now have this scenario where we're going to see this sweep across the country. And by Christmas, will we even have air travel? I don't know. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just saying we need to look at what's going on here. The bottom line is the censorship they did, like people like me, it's not going to make any difference. The awareness level is up here. It's high. People really are understanding. They may not know the details that you and I know, but they know that they're being lied to. They know that America is being destroyed. They know that this government's hopelessly corrupt. It's like a mafia. They know. The awareness is really high. The action level is really low. So we have this discrepancy. But where this is going to come in is this, is when people can't put food on the table for their children or shoes on their feet. The ignorant people in America are going to go from 0 to 60 with their anger. You look at Dublin. Dublin, Ireland is a perfect example of this. These people have been controlled by liberal ideology from the UK for a long time. They're now controlled by liberal ideology from their own leaders inside Ireland. And these folks have gone from 0 to 60. What? You let these immigrants in? They're killing our kids? Yeah, well, we'll show you. And they are. And you know what I find interesting too? This is what I mean when I say the censorship has come too late for the globalists. Deplatforming me ain't going to change the people waking up. We've already done our job. We've already done it. The only thing we're doing is peeling off more layers. Here's what they said in Ireland. This is absolutely amazing. The Prime Minister came out and said, "This is terrible that they're rioting." I agree with him. This is not the way to handle it. But nonetheless, there needs to be some response from the people. I just don't like the way they did it. And he said, "The cause of this is what people are putting on social media." That is total BS. The cause was government sanctioned policies for immigration that turned on Irish children, and they realize Ireland's not in control of its own future. It's subservient to the WF and the UN, and these people are pissed, and they have a right to be. Like I said, there's better ways to manifest your anger. But having said that, censorship won't change this. Censorship had nothing to do with this. But they want to shut you down because they think they can keep pulling the wool over your eyes to turn you into a slave and have a depopulated world where you're living in open air concentration camps in smart cities. And they want to take away your ability to tell other people we need to protest. It's not going to have a factor. And you know what's interesting too is when Xi Jinping went to San Francisco, who'd he meet with? Barely spent any time with Biden for obvious reasons. Barely spent any time with Gavin Newsom. He spent most of his time with the tech moguls from Silicon Valley. See, he too thinks censorship is the answer. It's not. It's not. I will find a way to communicate well, and I'm already doing it immediately. They won't totally shut me up unless they kill me. And also, this is true for everybody else. The horse is out of the barn. You know, I'll make a parallel. You have the Boston Tea Party. The British go into martial law, brutal martial law in Boston. They seal off the colony from the rest of the colonies. Did it stop the flow of information? No. Did it control the anger from spreading? Absolutely not. Same thing here. Same thing here. So you people can meet with all your little Silicon Valley. We're going to shut your mouth up for you people. And it ain't going to matter. Now back to the matter at hand. The globalists in this country are losing control. Biden's approval, real approval rate is probably around 8 to 10%. They can't cheat enough to win this election. So they're probably going to replace him with Gavin Newsom. And on the other side, when they take out Trump, and I pray this doesn't happen, but I think it's likely, Nikki Haley will be the candidate because she is a prostitute for the military-industrial complex. So is her husband. He's a part of it. And it won't matter who wins that election. They don't have to worry about cheating because either way, they'll get their person. But right now, there's such chaos, and the people are mobilizing ideologically. They need to have a distraction. They need to cripple this country and put us in lockdown so we can't organize. It's a form of martial law to shut you up and stop your resistance. And this is what this white pneumonia in Southwest Ohio and Warren County is all about. It's all about shutting you up. Is it going to work? No. It's not going to work. These people will have to resort to brute force. And I think at some level they know it. That's why we're seeing the white pneumonia. But Now, in the next broadcast, we're going to tell you about something else they got planned that there's a really good chance you've not heard about this. I've talked to people inside Colorado like Jamie Walden, and I'm in Colorado at the moment. I heard about it yesterday. Jamie heard about it yesterday. One of my other Colorado friends, he heard about it. I start asking people around the country, hey, have you heard about this? No. What are you talking about? What I'm talking about? You'll find out. You need to come back for part two. Can I really stress to you that now's the time you have your food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools? Please, don't put this off. And you go, why the gold? You can't eat the gold. Well, I'm with Noble Gold for a reason. And that's because of the fact that they're going to take everything from the bank, and they can under the Dodd-Frank Law 2010. And everything you've had will be gone, and they'll really be able to control you. And under the mask of martial law that's coming under this health pandemic they're creating, they're going to have medical martial law, and I believe they're going to collapse the banks and bring in CBDC. It's all part of the same plan. And I think that right now you need to think about getting independent of the system. For example, I mentioned Noble Gold. Yeah, I have a relationship with them. You can go to davehodgesgold.com and I'll send you out a free information packet. But I don't mean for this to be an ad for them. What I'm telling you is you need to do is food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And you don't have long to do it. They know they're losing control and they need to move quickly. How does white pneumonia go from China to Denmark, to Ohio? Does that make any sense to anybody? Doesn't make any sense to me. So I just thought I would bring this up. Hopefully I have your attention. This is bad enough. Something that will sweep through our country and kill our kids. This is bad. That the vaccine and myocarditis for young athletes was bad. I don't think you've seen anything yet. But stay tuned. We come back with the second part of this endeavor. We're going to talk about something else that's already in motion. And when I go back to my archival documents to show you what is happening, you're going to have a holy bleeper moment. And then you'll start taking preparation seriously, and you'll realize it's all hands on deck. And if the viruses don't get us, history shows what's next. We'll talk about that too. God bless all of you. The Lord will protect you if you walk with him. The book of Matthew is filled with these promises, and I am walking proof that that's true. Can I tell you just one quick story? It was my first job. Real job. I mean, I worked in a comedy club, but okay, so I did have that. Okay. And I'm living in northeastern Colorado, my first job. And for this high school, I'm the head basketball, football, and baseball coach. Yep, so I did all three. And I taught social studies. And I did it all for the grand sum of $10,600 a year and no insurance. Okay. So people say, Dave was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. I've heard this the other day. No, not hardly. Whatever my wife and I have, we've earned it the hard way. Now, I'm driving to work, and it was in the month of May. Clear roads, clear vision, and it's a narrow two-lane highway. And on either side is these steep embankments. You can't pull off the road. And here comes a guy, and I spot him about a mile away. And I go, man, he's not paying attention. Now, this is before the age of texting. If it were today, I'd think the guy was texting. And he's getting closer, and I'm going, holy crap. This guy's all over the road. And his car was rather big. And I was driving a little Ford Maverick mid-70s model. Nice car. I really liked it. Didn't have it much longer. And here he comes at me. He's crossing over into my lane. It's going to be a head-on, and I can't go off into the ditch. I'll roll. So I go into his lane, and he broadsides me on the headlight to the passenger door. Fortunately, I stayed on the road. I didn't roll. He wasn't so lucky. Even though he had the bigger car, he rolled and off into the ditch. Broke his hip, broke both legs, had internal injuries. I was pretty shaken up. I took a good jolt. It felt like I was playing football and I just got smashed. But I was walking. Now, the ambulance attendant that came wanted me to go for testing. I go, no, I'm fine. Someone came and picked me up and I went to work. I tried it for about 2 hours and I go, man, I got a headache. I got to go home. But I survived. I survived. 6 months before that, I'm driving my own car, not Ford Maverick. This was a gift from my mom. And I'm going to a job interview, and a lady runs a stop sign and tears the front end of my car off. I didn't have a scratch. Car's total. Her kid's injured. My point, the Lord walks with you. I've taken on people like John McCain, and there are people who've done what I've done politically and in the media who've paid an ultimate price. Well, the bottom line is God uses you when you're serving him, and he'll keep you safe as long as he needs you. And when it's time to go visit him and be called home, that's where you go. My faith in the Lord has been strengthened through the years because the Lord's pulled me out of situations where I've made stupid decisions as a young man. I was reckless, careless, and then sometimes wrong place, wrong time. And the Lord was always there. That's why I'm saying in these difficult times, put your faith in the Lord and continue helping me to help you and help each other get through this. And that's what we're doing here. This is our own little survival community where we share ideas and we're getting notions of what's going on and how best to prepare. And I hope that you'll keep helping me spread the word. And I hope that you'll spread the word. And some of you might want to get a show of your own. Take my place. The Common Sense Show is open now on YouTube. I don't know if they'd let you register that name, though. But anyway, my point is, if we stay in faith and we stay on the job, these people are panicking. I believe they can be stopped. Now, some people say, oh, Dave, we're headed to the tribulation. I don't think that's written in stone. We all prayed, all repented. The Lord would put a blessing on this nation. Do I think that's likely? No, but I shouldn't sell the Lord short. And I just really want to make this clear to you. Wouldn't you like to put off the end days and all that's coming to another generation, a millennia away? I'd love that. But some people are so locked in their ideology. Oh, this is the end. The rapture will be soon. The tribulation is here. I don't think we have enough evidence to conclude that. Do we have warning signs? Oh, yeah, we got big time chest pains before the heart attack. I do agree with that. But I also know that God can work miracles. So that's my pep talk. And I mean that in a loving, non-condescending way. But we have a lot of work to do. Start by preparing food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Secondly, you need to educate people. You need to take things you learn here and from each other when people make comments, and you need to go forth and be a missionary for the truth. We can overwhelm these people with sheer numbers, and I think we could be on the edge. We'll see you back here next time. God bless everybody.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you for joining us. This is part two of what we opened up Pandora's box to with regard to white pneumonia.
This is really extensive, and I'm not sure I can get this in part two in the segment that's remaining. I'm going to do my best, but if we have to continue it over into part three and move part three, which will be how they're going to get you into quarantine camps, which is now back in the news, then so be it. That's what we're going to do. Listen, I have to implore you that you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. Please, please, please take care of these needs now. Now, if you have limited resources, buy food. And I mean that. Now, I think people should get their money out of the bank as much as possible. I know you can't take it all because you got to live in society, but invest it in precious metals, for example, okay? Because that'll preserve your wealth. When the smoke clears, you'll still have your money and you can cash it in for whatever money system we're in. Now, having said all that, I want to also implore you to get food. If, like I said, if you're out of money, buy storable food to last 25 years, okay? You want food that tastes good. You want food that's going to stand up to diversity. In other words, you want to eat the same thing day after day. Please, 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 I beg you, get your storable food. Now, you don't have to get it from me, but we do have it available at preparewithdave.com with a 25% discount. You don't have to buy from me. I'm stressing that to you. But I'm just saying this. You need to take care of these needs because these people are going to use all these resources against you to control you. And if you're not convinced of that, let me just say, stay tuned. This show is going to cover it all. Go to preparewithdave.com if I can be of help to you. All right. We have a really important story, and it centers on Ebola. And, you know, I'm going to actually show you some clips from time to time here. But I just want to say this. I'm going to open up a primary source document. Ebola's back in the news. Pandora's Box, Denver, Colorado. For the last 10 years, and not much recently, but intensely in 2013, 14, 15, I was writing about the Ebola threat. And I said, we're going to have a problem. I said, we're going to have a huge problem in this country. And I predicted they would use Ebola to interfere in elections, to lock us down. Well, they didn't go the Ebola route. They went the COVID route. But I think now it's likely this was the beta test. And some of you are thinking right now, Dave's lost his mind. Hold on. I have really, really good documentation. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert right now, and then I'm going to walk you through the evidence. Number one, they've had an Ebola vaccine for a very, very long time, at least going back to 2006. The CDC owns the patent for Ebola, which means it had to be altered because you can't patent something in its natural state. That means weaponized. What does that tell you? We know that Crucell Laboratories was the original agent to develop a vaccine, but they're not alone. The NIH and GSK, one of the major pharmaceuticals, they have been involved too. We have all the documentation, and you're going to see it right here as I go to screen share, and I'm just going to walk you through. And we have to do a little jumping around. So this isn't necessarily a very linear presentation, but it will be well documented, and it will be inclusive. And my intent is not to frighten you, but you should have your level of concern raised, and we should be speaking out against this before it happens. You know, a lot of people warned us about Event 201 and Bill Gates and said they're going to bring something here, and that was the beta test. Well, we should have been more forceful in speaking out. I'm hopeful we won't make that mistake again. So let me go to the screen here, and I'm going to bring up these documents, which I've copied and pasted. Now, you can see for yourself, the links are there, okay? And a couple places I don't have links, but they're available on my website. If you just do keyword search on the Finder tool. All right. Denver Health administers first shots of Ebola vaccines. This is 2 days old. Now, here's what I found out. As of last night, I talked to really knowledgeable people like Paul Preston and others. They didn't know about this. Jamie Walden did because he's in Colorado. I am visiting in Colorado right now, and I became aware of it while here. I'm finding out this was confined to Colorado. I suspect today, you can't keep a lid on this. I suspect today other people across the country have seen this. Last night, this would have been almost proprietary. In a milestone moment in the Mile High City on November 27th, Denver Health administered the first live Ebola vaccine. It's not the first. That's an absolute misstatement. It's designed to deceive you. This is the way they're rolling it out. They've had this, and I'm going to show you the proof as we go. In 2015, HHS designated Denver Health as one of 13 regional emergency special pathogen treatment centers in the U.S., serving as infectious disease training and care hub for six states in its region. It is one of the first health systems in the country to administer the vaccine. Now, the vaccine's called Ervebo, first approved by the FDA in 2019 for anyone older than 1 year of age. While outbreaks have continued across the globe, Ebola is less frequently seen in the U.S., but is very deadly with a mortality rate between 70 and 90% when left untreated. My understanding, without these vaccines, there is no treatment. And the figure 90% is the predominant figure. Importation of Ebola in the U.S. by an infected traveler is a recognized risk. Hell, it happened in 2014. We had 19 cases, and they misquote the numbers here. 11 were treated for Ebola and two of them died. No, it was 19 and two. I don't know why they're misquoting this, because we covered this before. Okay, now I want to skip down here real quick. Will the real vaccine stand up? This is an article I wrote in 2014. There are at least two Ebola vaccines. One vaccine's been in development since 2004. The other, developed by GSK, is presently in development as of 2014 and thought to be brought to market by 2015, which didn't happen. To say that this vaccine is being brought to the public a little too fast would be the same as Mount St. Helens caused the earth to shake a little bit. Would you say that we brought the clot shots into existence a little too soon? Yeah, same thing here, folks. Here's what you weren't told, and I documented this, but they scrubbed this information from the internet, but it is still on my website. What you're not being told, fast facts from Crusell's website. Crusell is a laboratory, and they did research into the vaccine. Now, I'm a trained researcher. I see numbers here that I don't like, and I'll point that out as I go. So I don't think the research is on solid ground, but nonetheless, it shows you intent and what they were doing long before this latest press release out of Denver. Crusell is developing an Ebola vaccine in collaboration with the Vaccine Research Center of the NIH and Infectious Diseases, NAID, and it's been shown to completely protect monkeys against the virus with a single dose of the vaccine, which is a hell of a lot better than what they have now with what's coming out. They tested it on 8 animals and they all died, no humans. By the way, I taught, and I'm sorry if you're hearing me say this, but I taught for 4.5 years in my 14-year adventure with a university. I taught graduate students research methods to do their dissertations. We used medical modeling. This stuff I'm going to read to you and what I already exposed would not have made it to the midterm exam. These students would have flunked out. Okay, under the terms of the agreement of ERC, Crusell has an option for exclusive worldwide commercialization rights. Crusell's Ebola vaccine entered phase one clinical trials in the third quarter of 2006. Two groups of 16 volunteers were enrolled and vaccinated. If that's all they did and they don't have replicable studies, they can't form any conclusions. What they can say is there's a trend curve and it validates follow-up research, but if this is all they had, they have nothing. The study showed safety and immunogenicity of the doses evaluated. In October of 2008, Crusell secured an NIAID NIH award to advance the development of Ebola and Marburg vaccines, with the ultimate aim of developing a universal vaccine, which they call multivalent flovirus vaccine, to cover all of them. Isn't that nice of them? Vaccine for everything. Not one word was reported in the mainstream media. It's being covered up because the above was a direct copy and paste from Crusell's website on September 17th, 2014. In the same article that I published the following, I raised the question as why the American public was not being informed of this development, in which the vaccine had been tested on humans as far back at that time as 8 years ago. It's 2006. Within 2 days of the published data of the Crusell website that I put on my website, they scrubbed it. That's the link you'd find after the fact. Okay. Let me bring this back here, and we're going to flip back and forth as we go. I have to be perfectly honest with you. The research for the Crusell vaccine was shoddy. And I believe what we're looking at, but I think it was promising. Okay. So in other words, you can't take two groups of 16 people, one clinical trial, no replicable research, and say, aha, we have it. Well, maybe they do, but the odds favor they don't. It would take required follow-up research. Hello, we've seen the evidence of the follow-up research, GSK, NIH. I showed you that. I believe that's the second and third generation research. And now they have Denver doing human trials. That's an appropriate response. Okay? Human trials on volunteers to see how it works. They said later, and I didn't read this to you, they say it's available in final form to people who are in positions that could be affected, like maybe they're working with high-risk infectious disease people that could have Ebola. Oh boy, there's so much about Ebola that we don't know, and I'm going to educate you as to what some of that is, and I'm watching my time frame here pretty quickly. Let me go back to the screen and bring this about here, okay? Now, the Crusell Laboratory link was accessed 29 times. I got this from the Wayback Machine. So they didn't fully cover it up before I got to it. Okay. There were also 29 captures. So people got it and they sent it somewhere. They forwarded it. Okay. The clinical trials research is missing. We know that. And let me scroll down here a little further. I previously reported in 2014 in an article that's referenced here that Monsanto had partnered with the DOD to use a proxy third-party company to develop a vaccine against Ebola. I'm sure that's what Crusell was, and that's how they so easily eliminated it. And you couldn't trace it through funding, through stock listing. You didn't have anything. I reached a blank, and then I found this, and I said, okay, that explains it. This was a shell corporation. The seed money, as I found out, began at $1.5 million, and deal could grow to a cap of $86 million. Okay, and I have all the stuff in here, folks, about who was involved. I won't bore you with the details, but I want to show you something here that I think that you'll find very interesting. You can freeze frame this and get your pencil out and write this down. You'll also find it on my website. Human Ebola virus species and compositions and methods thereof. Patent number CA2741523A1. I'll just read to you from here. Amazingly, the Center for Disease Control owns the patent on Ebola and all future strains. Below is the heading for the summary of the invention section of the patent document that claims the U.S. government is claiming ownership. Now they're doing it through a proxy. See, the CDC is like the Federal Reserve. They're not really part of the government. They're a private entity. But the government gives them authority to carry out health issues in the name of the government. So they're quasi-federal, but they're not really part of the government. So when I say government, okay, and I say, why would a government organization? They're private. They have a for-profit motive. I want you to hear me very clearly on this. They have a for-profit motive. So if some manufacturer, just hypothetically speaking, would say to the CDC or the NIH and Anthony Fauci, hey, if you'll help us here expedite this and get approval with the FDA and give your seal of approval, we'd be very grateful and we'd contribute to your future research millions of dollars. You follow what I'm saying, right? Okay, there you go. There's the patent summary of invention right there. Do I have to go any further? There's money in Ebola. Ebola means control of the population because people will willingly lock down. Now, is Ebola, is it really contagious? Yeah, it's highly virulent. But you haven't been told the truth about Ebola. What would you say if I told you Ebola has been known to be airborne and contagious through airborne pathogen since 2009? What would you say to that? What would you say if I could show you the proof? Hey, you can see I have documentation from my website where I documented how contagious Ebola is. What do we really know about the transmission? No one knows for certain. We know a lot, and I'm going to give you the know a lot part, but no one knows for certain exactly and precisely and 100% how the virus is transmitted, because it's been found in saliva, stools, breast milk, semen, and the blood of infected people. So we know trading bodily fluids like HIV promotes the transmission. And this is what the media would have you believe. The authorities, everyone you're supposed to trust and listen to. Okay, let's see how much we can trust them. This is just unbelievable. Okay, the virus has been found in all the aforementioned areas, including vomit, diarrhea, okay? And they can result in inhalable aerosol particles, inhalable airborne transmission in the immediate vicinity of the infected people. Now, I've got other research that'll tell you it's 6 feet to 26 feet. Coughing was identified in some cases in a 1995 outbreak for contagious in Kiwit, Democratic Republic of Congo. Coughs are widely known to emit viruses and respirable particles. Actual vomiting produces an aerosol that's been implicated in airborne transmission of gastrointestinal viruses. Regarding diarrhea, just toilet flushing emits a pathogen-laden aerosol that disperses into the air. If you're still not convinced that we're sending our troops at the time when they went to Sierra Leone to help with the Ebola transmission, I said, this is nuts. We don't know all the ways it's transmitted. Obama thought it was a good idea. Okay, let me continue. Even in the most optimal of conditions, aerosolized Obama and Reston viruses at 50 to 55% relative humidity and 72 degrees Fahrenheit had biological decay rates of 3.06, 1.55% per minute. These rates indicate that 99% loss in aerosol ineffectivity would occur in 104 and 162 minutes. So how long can you be affected by something that's in the air around you? I just answered the question. Almost up to 3 hours. When it comes to Ebola Reston in the underlying portion, the virus can be contracted through aerosolized means for a period of 2 hours and 42 minutes. This is scary. What I'm building here is a model to show you how transmissible this can be. And it explains why people in these third world countries like Sierra Leone and so forth, West Africa, we know why it's so virulent now, because it's airborne. People can stop having sex, they can stop kissing, they don't have to drink out of the same cup, but that doesn't mitigate the entire threat. And this is one of the things I want to pose here is this should be out in the public knowledge, and it's not. You've got to go to research documents that I believe the powers that be want to keep from you because you demand really stringent action, yet the science is right here. Okay, let me give you something for the mainstream media. They even capitulated on this one point. The very liberal and often truth-denying Washington Post admits that Ebola could go airborne, and they did so on February 15th, 2015. Quote from the Washington Post: a team of prominent researchers suggested Thursday that limited airborne transmission of Ebola virus is very likely, a hypothesis that could reignite the debate that started last fall after one of the scientists offered the same opinion. This is bullcrap. I'm going to show you Canadian scientists in a minute in 2009 already documented this 6 years prior to this article. It's very likely that at least some degree of Ebola virus transmission currently occurs via infection aerosols generated from the gastrointestinal tract, the respiratory tract, or other medical procedures. Although this has been difficult to definitively demonstrate or rule out, since those exposed to infectious aerosols are most likely to be in close proximity to or in direct contact with an infected case. That's true. In research, and I'm going to grant the article that leeway there, because in research, when you're looking at causality, A causes B to happen, okay? This strain of Ebola causes someone to get sick and die. All right, now, is it aerosolized? Could they get it through blood? Could they share a cup? I mean, another number of things. So what you have to do is analysis called progressive regression analysis, where you take each variable and try to correlate the if we know what the incidence of contact is, and then you compare one to the other. It's almost impossible to do that in a case like this. I don't know that it can be done with 100% certainty. And I don't think it had been done here in this study. But anyway, the research was published in that journal. Okay. Now, I just said to you that this is a bogus article because they're misrepresenting the dates. The disturbing findings of Canadian researchers. Other researchers have stated it's imperative to better understand where people come into contact with Ebola-infected animals. As it turns out, the transmission of Ebola through human-to-human contact with bodily fluids is not the only present means for spreading the virus. We established that. For example, through hunting or eating African brush meat, it was discovered the virus was spread through this type of contact as well. This is something that the corporate-controlled media is not reporting truthfully, as the nature of the reports act as if Ebola cannot be spread human to human in this regard. Okay, well, if you get it from the African brush meat, from eating it, and we know it can aerosolize, and they say it can come from the gastrointestinal tract, I just read that to you from that Washington Post article, then it makes sense. I eat the meat, I give you AIDS. I give you whatever can be aerosolized. In this case, Ebola or Marburg's disease. I mean, any number of things are possible here. This is scary, folks. This is really, really. Let me tell you my concern here. Have you read the reports that they're putting mRNA into animal feed? If you haven't, you might want to use a search engine. Don't make a Google and research this. If they could do it with mRNA, why can't they do it with elements of Ebola? How would you get people to eat grasshoppers? The meat's not safe. Oh my gosh. The World Health Organization declares it's been transmuted. You can die from eating meat. It's invaded the meat population. Eat bugs. That's safe. Ebola can't live in bugs. Yeah, I'm giving you a speculation. I'm giving you a hypothesis. But tell me that doesn't follow what you're seeing here. Okay. Should look at this. The airborne transmission of Ebola from species to species is an established scientific fact from these Canadian researchers. I gave you the link. And I gave you the link up here to go research it. You can click on directly. Boy, this is scary stuff. Let me go down to here. Now, a little bit more about the Canadian study. In 2009, as I stated, a Canadian research team from the National Center of Foreign Animal Disease, Canadian Food Inspection Agency, headed by Carissa Embery-Hyatt, began conducting research entitled The Transmission of Ebola Virus from Pigs to Non-Human Primates. The study determined that Rustan Ebola was the first Ebola detected in swine with an indicated transmission to humans. In contact transmission of Zaire Ebola between pigs was demonstrated experimentally. Okay. And then in their study, when you click on the links, when you go to my original link, you'll see that the Zaire Ebola transmission from pigs to Cynomolgus monkeys without direct contact occurred. That's aerosolization. That's the only way it could spread. This means that Ebola is already airborne and can jump species. The result of this disturbing study were published in September of 2012. Now, if I can find this, why can't CNN? Why can't Fox? Why can't Human Health Services? Why can't the FDA? Why can't the CDC? Why aren't they giving out this information? Everything here, look at these hyperlinks. Everything here is documented. Everything. And you're telling me that there's not enough here to draw conclusions? Let me tell you what my positional hypothesis is. Isn't it curious that the white pneumonia starts in China, just like COVID, and it's coming up on election year? Isn't that what an amazing coincidence? And I went to Denmark, and as I pointed out in the last video and last broadcast I've done on this, different locations, also on radio shows, it's now in Warren County, Ohio, a small county with 148 infected kids. 148 infected kids. And then we're looking at Ebola. And I said this over and over and over. I said COVID was bad for people with comorbid conditions. Absolutely. But it was like the flu, because the flu kills people. Or it did before we started calling the flu COVID, but the flu killed people with comorbid conditions. Would I rate COVID a little higher than the flu? But they confounded them so much they called one the other. It's hard to say. But I'll grant, for the art sense of suitability of argument, that COVID may be a little more profound than the flu. But the death rates, the real death rates, not the people who came in on emergency gurney, died of head trauma from a motorcycle accident, and they called it COVID. And they got $13,000 for the diagnosis and $39,000 from the federal government for the death certificate. The government was paying to basically enhance the COVID statistics to get you to lock down, take their vaccines, wear a mask, and be good little soldiers and do what you were told. It's a fact. And I said, no one's going to fall for the COVID scam again. People now see through it. So now you got to bring something in that will really get people's attention. I'll just give you a little hypothetical question here. Do you think people would be more inclined to take the vaccine if Ebola is on the loose? But how can you trust the vaccine? Especially when they've been covering it up since 2006. And we just got this announcement 2 days ago out of Denver. That hey, they actually got something, they're testing it. So we've gone through 17 years of obfuscation. And unless you're a trained researcher, you can go in and know where to look for things. You can pull up things on university databases, find the hypertext links, and say, here's what we know, which I did. and this is in my wheelhouse. I'm not bragging, I'm smart or anything else, but this is what stuff I did for a living for a while. I mean, this is how I paid my bills. So I know what the hell I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, there's no excuse for this not to have been in the public for 17 years. None. Zero. And I believe this is an electioneering move, but I think it's bigger. I think it'll change our diet. I think it'll change where we live. And I think it could probably be used in some fashion, directly or indirectly, to get you to want to move to a confined community that was safe, a smart city. Food for thought, right here on the Common Sense Show. And man, I know this sounds like a conspiracy theory, and I would sound like a nut, except I'll just scroll back up here. And would you please note all the blue hypertext links, the government document showing the patent? Do you know the CDC is going to make a ton of money off of this? So are their investors. You think that's a coincidence? I would encourage you to go to those links and confirm or deny what I've said, but I think it's really clear. God bless all of you for coming here and paying attention. I think really dark days are ahead, and we need to scream at the top of our lungs as the censors come out in force to shut us up. Keep talking. We'll see you back here next time. God bless you.